Your life reflects the kind of thoughts you think. Are they on what is missing in your life or on what you want? Are the thoughts you think even true? Presenting together for the first time at this live seminar event, Dr. Wayne Dyer and Byron Katie address the powerful effects of your thoughts and how they create your experience. Each will explain how to make your thoughts work for you, and then they'll respond to questions from the audience. And now, here's Wayne Dyer.
Thank you. You're very, very kind. Thank you. Welcome to a wonderful day. It may be the first time that Katie and I have been together on stage, working together as a team, looking at some of the things that I think are going to be very, very powerful in a life-changing day. I have always been a huge, huge fan of hers, and have done the work myself, and you're all in for a great treat this afternoon. I have undertaken a project. I started on January the 1st of this year, and I'll be finishing it on December the 31st. It's a new book that I'm living. For the first time, I think, in my life, I've begun to do something that is having more of an impact on me than I think it'll have on anyone who reads it. It has changed my life in a very profound and dramatic way every day. I was listening to the whole controversy around James Fry and A Million Little Pieces. Most of you know what I'm speaking about, I think, don't you? Well, there was a huge bestseller last year. It's called A Million Little Pieces, and it was about a young man who had been a drug addict and an alcoholic, had tried every kind of drug that there was, and ended up at the beginning of the book being dropped off up in Minnesota at a rehab center. And the story is the story of his experience going through 6 weeks of intense rehab, trying to get himself clean from this life of drugs that he had been participating in since he was about 15 or 16 years old, and he was in his late 20s at this time. Well, it became a very hugely popular bestseller because it was beautifully written, and he went on Oprah, and then they discovered that it was just an amazing insight. They found out that someone who does drugs doesn't always tell the truth. As my daughter said, duh. It was published as a memoir, and there's sort of a loose interpretation of what it means to write a memoir, and whether this comes under the category of fiction or nonfiction, or whether you're allowed to play with facts and so on. And all of this controversy could have been resolved with a brief little paragraph at the beginning of the book that said some of the facts in the book have been altered to make the story better or to protect the people who were a part of the experience that he went through or whatever, but that wasn't in there. And so he went on Oprah, and then she found out that he had fabricated some of the details. But in the whole process of all of that, Oprah being concerned about what had done for her reputation and whether or not these facts were true or not, was the much larger picture of how many people who were really profoundly impacted as drug addicts and alcoholics and were able to come out of that world, that imprisoned world. And it's very close to me in my life, because in my own family I have one of my children who right now, today, is profoundly struggling with that very same thing and has been for the past 10 years or so. So I'm sensitive to it as well. Anyway, A Million Little Pieces was deeply impactful to many, many people. And the controversy stirred, and I saw this young man being raked through the coals because he had changed some of the facts and so on, and that became the whole emphasis on this book. So I called James and told him that I would be absolutely willing to publish anything that he wrote in the future. And my publisher agreed to that. While he was going through this rehabilitation experience of his, he came across a book that I had read when I was taking a philosophy course back at the university and at the University of Michigan in 1965, I think it was, or 1966. It's a book that was written 2,500 years ago. I remember when I was reading it, I was touched by it, and I remember saying, it's about time they wrote something like this. And then I found out that that old line, that when the student is ready, the teachers will appear, became very, very clear, because it had been out there for thousands of years, 500 years before the Bible for the New Testament was even thought of. And the book is called the Tao Te Ching, or the Book of the Way. And it's the foundation for the practice. It's not a religion, as I've been researching Taoism, which is spelled T-A-O-I-S-M, T-A-O, the Tao. The word Tao is just a word that means the way. And the opening line of the Tao says, the Tao that can be named is not the Tao. So the minute that you put a label on it, you've lost it. It is something that transcends dualities, beginnings and ends. It's the word for the source, the word for all that is. And one of the most profound teachings of the Tao is that the Tao does nothing, but it leaves nothing undone. And it's a really profound teaching.